It's time for your weekly dose of movie news, reviews, and the occasional rumor. Here's your host, Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. This is Cinema Savants.
And coming up in this week's show, the Chinese are taking over. Apple picks an Asimov. Solo is going to get sabotaged. And Fran Drescher pops by just to annoy Todd. Kidding.
Not only did she not show up,
Lee's not even here this week, so we'll still have a good show.
We'll try. Really wish Fran Drescher was here, though. I like Fran Drescher.
I wouldn't mind her showing up either. I'll see what I can do. But in the meantime, we'll start off with Blade Runner 2, 049, which cost a whopping $300 million and made $259 in theaters, which sounds like a tremendous flop. And it still is, even though it is the second highest grossing DVD/Blu-ray release of 2018. Made another almost $22 million, so eventually they'll catch up with the money they spent and consider it a break-even thing. So, yay for Blade Runner, I guess.
Indeed.
It was the number two last year behind It, which doesn't surprise me. It was a bigger movie last year anyway. It made almost $31 million, and that leads me into It 2 news. Because It 2 is apparently getting James McAvoy and Bill Hader in the cast. I'm not sure if is that a good thing?
That's a good thing, depending on who Hader plays, and I'm pretty sure I know which character he's playing, and that fits perfectly well. And James McAvoy in a movie is always a good thing.
Yeah, so. He's playing Pennywise. I'm kidding. At least I hope I'm kidding. Although I can see it working. No, please.
And then it merges into Split. And what? Anyway.
And the movie will be unbreakable from that point on. Anyway, those were two movies at opposite ends of the box office last year. And so you pointed out something after the show, which is a very bad time to point something out, by the way.
Yes, it is. I'll try to do it this time, too.
Okay, so we'll do it this week. because when we finished the show last week, three of the top five grossing films worldwide this year were Chinese. Now, that was last week. This week, it's 2 out of 5 because 50 Shades Freed is apparently killing it overseas.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the number 4 and number 5 movies, Ready Player One and 50 Shades Freed, are making, on average, 73% of their money overseas. Which is weird.
That is weird. And the number 2 and number 3 films, both Chinese films, Operation Red Sea, Detective Chinatown 2, both have actually been released in the U.S. because Operation Red Sea made $1.5 million, which means it was like at 5 theaters, yeah. And Detective Chinatown 2 made $2 million. But combined, they have done almost $1.09 billion dollars.
Overseas.
And Monster Hunt 2 also has made
number 6.
$350 million, and that's the number 6 film. So
if you add them together, you get Black Panther, which is the number 1. But
basically, I mean, it's almost dead on, which is what's really funny. But there's been a lot of talk about how Hollywood really has to, which is why you might see more diversity in casting and more sensibilities of, there are places and attitudes other than American, because it's a huge market overseas, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, Ready Player One, almost 3/4 of its gross has come from overseas. But
do they get the Iron Giant references?
They definitely need to get the Iron Giant references. And you had mentioned before Paddington 2, which is not quite up in the stratosphere like that, but 82% of the gross of Paddington 2 is overseas.
I suspect a lot of that is the UK, where Paddington kind of came from.
Yeah, but it's still... It's odd that let's see exactly how much it's done in the UK.
Oh, it breaks it down. I haven't played around as much with Box Office Mojo as I probably should.
It did pretty well in the UK, did a mere 60 million, which is huge for the UK.
Yeah. But, you know, it's pretty much a UK film.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because everyone in it, that's where they're from. Go figure. But I got down to looking down this list, and I found one that's made 85% of its money in the States, and it's one that you've seen and wanted to talk about for the show, and I have no other segue nor anywhere else to put it in the show.
And that movie would be?
Therefore, Love, Simon.
Love, Simon.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out any other way of working it into the show because it doesn't fit with anyone else.
Love, Simon is an excellent coming-of-age film. The twist here is that it is about a young gay man, as opposed to most of the coming-of-age films lately, at least, have been of young heterosexual females. So, it's not like Lady Bird, that's about the only similarity. And it's not like Edge of 17, again, about the only similarity is the age of
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants
protagonist. No, not that either. But, it's excellent because it's not that he's figuring out, somewhat as he's figuring out like who he is and what it means to be gay. And that makes it sound heavy, and it's not a heavy film. It's basically a comedy with some serious edges to it. But the acting is tremendous. It's a very feel-good movie. I saw it in Miami, and this is one of the few times I've been in a theater, like in the past 20 years, where people were applauding. Other than Star Wars, because people always clap during Star Wars movies.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count. But there's one scene where you're kind of – it's building towards this scene that you hope will happen throughout the entire film. And it does happen, and like I said, half the audience just started applauding. And then they applauded at the end. And it's like, you don't see that too often in films. But it's such a good movie. Such a good movie. I imagine it will be on a lot of top 10 lists at the end of the year. Hopefully it'll be nominated for Best Picture. Because, it does, like we've talked about, it does a picture do what it's supposed to do? And it does it. It absolutely nails it. It's such a good movie. I really can't recommend Love, Simon enough. Really fun movie. Like I said, there's some kind of heavy moments, but if there are no heavy moments in a coming of age film other than Porky's, they're not doing it right. So I definitely recommend the movie. It's just wonderful. And like I said, when audiences are applauding, that's usually a pretty good sign that there's something good going on.
I always thought it was really weird for audiences to applaud because the person you're applauding isn't there to hear you.
It is odd, isn't it?
I mean, if it's a play or a stand-up comedian or something, I get applauding because the person you're cheering for is right there and can see you. Mm-hmm. The lights are even partially up, you can go, they're applauding for me. Yay. But for a movie, yeah. I'm wondering, you do realize, people, they're not really on the other side of that screen.
And it does make it that much more impactful when people do applaud because...
Exactly.
You've got that because it's like, okay, why am I applauding? Because
if I applaud loud enough, maybe they'll hear me wherever they are.
Right. But people applaud, like you said, at live performances all the time. Well, if it's any good, they do. But we don't sit there at home and it's like, oh, I just finished episode 7 of the second season of The Office. Oh my God, that was great. I think I'll applaud.
Yay.
Doesn't happen.
And somewhere in an office, Frodo pops his head up and goes, someone's cheering for me? What? Very strange. I'm sure this is going to be coming to light. When did this come out? This came out March 16th. So, another month and it'll be on Netflix?
When does Black Panther come out again?
That is actually, that is later on in the show. Stay
tuned. Okay, good.
I have a date. Ha ha ha. So does Lee. That's why he's not here.
with a twin bed. Anyway, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be teasing him throughout the rest of the show. Fine. Blow us off for a... Oh, wait. Never mind. Disney. Because that's a natural segue.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Disney launched its first big streaming service this week in preparation for their bigger Disney-named streaming service. This week they launched one under the name ESPN Plus for a whopping $4.99 a month or $49 a year. And it's confused a lot of people because it is not the main ESPN channel, and nor can you get the main ESPN channel shows on it, but you do get an extra 180 baseball games, 180 hockey games. And see, Lee would love this, but he's not here to notice. 250 Major League Soccer games.
Now, see, that's well over 500. He would watch every one of those.
I'm sure he would. But this is the precursor to Disney launching their own channel of Disney-based stuff. You'll be able to stream Cinderella exclusively on Disney. And I'm sure they're going to take all the Marvel movies and Star Wars movies and put them on the Disney streaming channel.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
In a way. Because, again, here's another streaming service that you have to pay for.
Yeah. Anyway, here's a movie that's not going to be on it. it's a segue. It'll, you know, two wheels and not entirely functioning gyroscopes. Taika Waititi.
Yes.
Or however you pronounce that, because I can never do it. I always, it's like banana. There's too many, you know, of the same letters repeating at the end of the word, and you're never really sure when to quit. Anyway. He's doing a live-action Akira movie.
Yes.
Finally. And he announced this week that it's going to not be based on the previous anime movie, but going to be based on the graphic novels that the anime movie was based on. And that sounds really weird. Let me explain a little bit. The movie, the original one, took a lot of elements from the first, from the graphic novels, which were huge. I don't know if you've ever seen the Akira graphic novels, but they're like 300 and 400 pages long of graphic novel, and there's like six of them. So, no.
You would have to take just elements, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, they took just elements and made the anime movie, and this is one of those few times when I don't mind, because the anime movie was, one, brilliant.
Yeah.
Two, had enough of the graphic novels in them to make you go, okay, I can see where why you would cut this out and this out and this out. And it still freaks me. Have you ever seen the Akira movie?
Oh, yeah.
It still freaks me out in places.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird, in a very good way, movie. Yeah.
Except for the bear. I don't like the little bear.
But I agree. Yeah, it's a brilliant movie in as far as it looks and the story both.
Hopefully is going to make this into
Waititi,
make it into multiple movies to cover everything in the graphic novels, if that's the way he wants to go.
I would hope so. I mean, he's done some awesome work, and I'm not just talking about Ragnarok. I mean, he's done a lot of great things. I'm happy that he's the one who's going to tackle this. And Akira's been, that's been long enough. It's not like, oh, we just came out with this 3 years ago. Let's do a reboot.
1988.
Oh. Yeah. And it doesn't seem nearly that long ago. But
you can watch it now and still go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh,
it still looks up to date and modern. And
it does.
It's better than a lot of Disney stuff, actually, which is weird. But speaking of Disney stuff,
more Disney.
Actually, it's not really, it's not exactly Disney yet, even though it is Marvel. I was referring to Deadpool 2, which that's just going to be weird when Disney finishes purchasing all the Marvel stuff from Fox.
That's probably what they're waiting for. That's what that they're waiting for, the Deadpool 3 movie to come out, so then they don't have to release an R-rated.
Well, no, it's going to be weird to see the Disney castle,
yeah,
followed by the words Deadpool, and you go, those don't go together, really. Anyway, Deadpool 2.
Disney pool.
There we go. That's, I'm not going to go there. All right.
You can wear a Tinkerbell dress, and he probably would. I called it. He will be dressed as Tinkerbell in Deadpool 3.
He'll be the one who comes out and sprinkles the little fairy dust mm-hmm. on the castle.
Except it'll be Saren and everybody in the castle will die.
Meanwhile, at the previously aforementioned news that I have for the movie,
Anthrax.
What did you smoke before the show? Anyway.
Anthrax.
Smoking anthrax. Sure, why not? It was announced this Wednesday that the villain for Deadpool 2, Black Tom Cassidy, who, if you read the books, was the guy who hung out with Juggernaut back in the day. And quite frankly, I don't know that I've even heard of him being in a book since like the mid-80s. But if you want to make him the villain of the movie, that's fine. Except they cut him entirely, according to the first article. Then the next day they announced, no, he's not completely removed from the movie, but they drastically reduced his screen time to give more to Cable and Domino. Which has got to suck for an actor to go, I filmed all my parts. I'm going to be in this movie. I'm the villain. Oh, crap. They cut me? What? How can, you know, I don't know how you would be able to cut the main villain out of an entire movie and have it still work. That's just weird.
It is weird. And it's also, Black Tom Cassidy was the main villain. I was thinking he was a side villain. And I know
they've made Cable look like the villain,
initially they fight and then they're friends because someone says Martha. God, I hope they say Martha.
I suspect there's going to at least be a joke about it.
No, there's got to be. There's got to be. I can see wanting to focus more on Cable and just have them have basically a death match because they could. And then at the end, they're buddies. And have Domino play into that factor, but it's odd not to have done that to begin with. So it makes me kind of wonder exactly what the thought process was here. And especially Black Tom Cassidy, that was your major villain? Are you serious? That seems rather odd. I mean, like you said, that's kind of obscure.
I don't mind bringing in obscure characters, but that was a really obscure one to bring in.
Yeah, It just seems kind of strange. Just like Justice League. Oh, let's bring in Steppenwolf. And Steppenwolf isn't as obscure as Black Tom Cassidy. But, you know, when you've got hundreds of possibilities and you go that deep, and that's kind of what you do for, like, the fifth movie in a series, not for the first. And I know this is the second of Deadpool, but I'm talking about Justice League. But it just, that seems a little odd to me. Anyway.
Very strange. Let's see, other Marvel news. Actually, I'm going to call this greenlit news now.
Ooh.
Because that's where I'm going with it. Jessica Jones has been greenlit for season 3.
Which is
I'd like to
news.
Say I've seen season 2, but I haven't.
I've seen 9 episodes of season 2. And it is quite lovely. And it is getting lovelier as it goes. And for Jessica Jones, that means there's more brutality and death and angst. And she
and
likes
a cameo
it that
by
way.
Deadpool.
That would totally be funny, but not work. Anyway.
No. Let's see. Other things that were greenlit. Atomic Blonde 2.
Also makes me happy.
And I'm trying to figure out which one this would be. Would it be Jumanji 2 or 3 if it's a sequel to the one that just came out?
Jumanji, the next one.
I think that, you know, it's close enough.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
They should totally call it that.
Other things. Apple TV, which isn't even out yet, that I know of, picked up Isaac Asimov's Foundation series and are going to be turning it into a TV series. And part of me is thinking, this is going to be brilliant. And part of me is worried that they're really going to screw it up like they did iRobot.
Yeah. I never got into the Foundation series that much. I love all of the robot stories. And yeah, the iRobot was a freaking disaster of a film, which it just...
One of the things I did like about it, though, was when they said... you know how you normally have based on the book by? This one said inspired by. I'm like, yeah, that Because if you put based, that's screwed it up.
Yeah, because that's closer.
Yes.
That seems to be a real theme in Hollywood. It's like, let's take a really well-written property and attach Will Smith to it and then just basically keep the title. Or if we follow the plot, we're going to change huge key elements which completely screw up what we did, like they did with I Am Legend. I mean, you're missing the point, guys. Why did you bother making this film? Oh, yeah, because it's got Will Smith and people will go see it. Please, please, for the love of God, stop that and don't let Will Smith be in Foundation. I like him. I like him a lot. I mean, as the little I know of him as a person, it's not like we hang out, obviously. But and I like him in films. But stop screwing up properties to change them up so it's all Will Smithy, like Suicide Squad. That was ridiculous what they did with the character.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Anyway.
Circle gets the square.
Yeah. I mean, he was great in Bright. Bright is not a good movie, but he was great in it because there was nothing pre-existing to screw up. They managed to screw up on an original property all on their own, and that's okay.
The Foundation series is a brilliant property. Don't screw it up. I actually did read them. Started reading those about 10 years ago, and I've read them several times since then because these are awesome books. And when you read them, you go, hey, wait a minute. That's an element from Star Wars, and that's from Battlestar Galactica, and that's from this sci-fi series. And you go, I see the parallels between 5 billion TV series and movies and everything that came out in the past 30 years. And then you look, when was this book written? 1930, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me. Star Trek: The Next Generation. Data's positronic brain, created by Isaac Asimov in the 30s.
Yeah, Isaac Asimov was brilliant, and he would be more than happy to let you know that. That's apparently he did.
But you know what? I, for him, I would be good with that.
Yeah, exactly. Because he was, and he was funny.
Damn. But actually, you know what was really weird? Because when you think Asimov, you think the Robot series and the Foundation series because they're good. Just excellent science fiction. Mm-hmm. He actually wrote some mystery stories,
yeah,
that were also really good, including one with Batman.
I did not know that.
It's part of a series of books.
I'll have to track it down.
The Black Widowers series, which is a series of short stories, and I cannot remember which of the Black Widowers books it's in. But Bruce Wayne is in one of them, claiming to be the guy who inspired the people to write Batman in the first place.
How meta. That's pretty cool.
It's really weird. It's really funny. And it's awesome.
And the other day, I read a odd little story about, well, they were originally in Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine. Anyway, that apparently Isaac Asimov made a comment that he was really, really pissed because he couldn't get to where he was going in New York because he was filming some damn movie. And Dan Aykroyd happened to be there when he said it, and he was absolutely crushed because it's like, oh my God, it's Asimov, and he just said something that he's pissed off about the movie I'm working in, so I can't even say anything. And apparently it really kind of crushed Aykroyd for many years. And that's probably not a true story, but it's a fun story nonetheless.
New York, the whole area is cursed. That's actually, you know, Asimov had a quote where he was driving through Trenton, New Jersey, which is close to New York. And no, that wasn't Asimov. That was someone else. You know what? I moved into Tolkien for a minute, who was driving through New Jersey and went, look, it's Mordor. That place is equally cursed. But you know, since I've brought up another author anyway, I'll bring up a third. Yes. Frank Miller, who has created some absolutely stunning graphic novels over the years. And I'm sure other books, too, that I just don't know about. Anyway, one of them he created was called Cursed. See, I'm multiple segues to get into this story, including Tolkien, which didn't even belong in the show. Because I screwed that up. Anyway, Frank Miller is teaming with Puss in Boots writer-director Tom Wheeler to create Cursed for Netflix. I'll get there eventually. I know I will. It's a reimagining of the author, the King Arthur legend.
Interesting.
Told through the eyes of the teenager who is destined to become the Lady of the Lake.
Okay, that's really weird and out there and interesting. But Frank Miller, that makes me... yeah, I mean, that sounds like, my God, that could be awesome, and it could be absolutely awful, because Frank Miller is... he's just all over the place.
And I suspect some of the episodes are going to be late because there are things like his scheduling. He doesn't do schedules very well.
Yeah. So look for look for this over the next 15 to 16 years, even though it's supposed to be out in June.
On Netflix at a TV set near you. Something else on Netflix, and I'm not sure how we missed this. In the new Lost in Space series, which came out this week, and I forgot about it until about an hour before the show, because I thought it was next week, and I'm wrong. So maybe we'll have a review for it eventually. Dr. Smith is in this, because we did, that was something we had talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Dr. Smith is in this.
Played by Posey Parker.
Yep. Gender swap.
I don't know how we missed that, or I missed that. You were apparently fine on it. Fine, be that way. I have seen the opening credits sequence, and because that was released a couple weeks ago. And do you remember the opening credit sequence for Enterprise, the last of the Star Trek series? Well, not last anymore, but...
vaguely, yes.
And how it was... it's a song. It's not the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's some guy with a guitar. It's basically... the same opening credit sequence, only instead of going to a Federation starship in the Star Trek universe, it's the, what is it, Saturn II?
Jupiter.
Jupiter II. One of those big ones. Jupiter II. Considering I have not watched the series since, what, 1980-something, I think I did pretty good to get the fact that it's even a number two.
Yes, you did. I'm curious to see it. I haven't had a chance to even watch part of the first episode, but I'm curious to see how they've done, because I really enjoyed the original show, other than the times when it just got too stupid to even tolerate, which is most of the time, but still, it's a fun show.
Yeah.
The gender swap is, that's an interesting switch on Dr. Smith. I'm curious to see how, if Dr. Smith is at all a comic character. If he's comic relief, she in this case is comic relief, or if they go back to the original purpose of Dr. Smith, who was just the saboteur, and that's pretty much how he's played out in the Lost in Space movie, which was, yeah, okay. But the robot is also kind of weird. I mean, I can see updating the robot, but it's such an iconic design, and it's weird that apparently the robot is actually an alien, and I don't know. Like I said, I'll have to see, but I will be more than happy to talk about it next week when I will have
Tune in next week when we'll have a review.
Several episodes of it, but it's just, I don't know. It's almost like the robot's the only thing about it that bothers me. And again, it might be wonderful and amazing. It just seems like they made a huge jump there, so... but we shall see. By the way, Tales of the Black Widowers is not cheap because for some stupid reason, there are no reprints yet. The cheapest one you can find on Amazon is $7.37.
This is when you start hitting the used bookstores.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where I got my copies from.
That's why you'll have to look around.
That's where I found out my copies existed. Looking for Foundation books and then went, hang on a minute, what's this?
How cool. Tales of the Black Widowers. Anyway.
Very good series.
I'm sure, because he was an excellent writer.
So speaking of Dr. Smith and the original saboteur concept, leads right into an alt-right group called Down with Disney's Treatment of Franchises and Its Fanboys. For such a thing exists, and they claim to have 5,000 members on their Facebook page.
Wow. Wow, that's
sure you do.
That name just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Doesn't it though? And it's an acronym. If you acronym it, it's
Yeah, which is
which fitting. Rolls even better.
Yeah, that fits probably their mental capacity. Anyway, what about these lovely boys? Which I'm sure they are all boys. Oh,
they're all beautiful. Actually, this is terrifying because the story I've pulled up online has an ad on the right that says, "Do you remember that feral kid from Mad Max? Here's what he looks like now." And that's the only picture I have to go along with this story. And it's kind of terrifying. And I'd like to get through the story and move on because. So anyway, they said that they're going to be sabotaging the reviews for Solo, a Star Wars story, and the Avengers Infinity War because they just can't be as good as all the reviews say they are. And the mantra of the group is, "We believe that the liberal media was behind the alleged glowing reviews that Disney receives." So it's the liberals' fault.
Of course.
That these movies are good?
So they're fighting fake news by admitting they're going to create fake reviews.
Fake news. Yeah.
Brilliant. Huh? Some people just know they don't need access to spoons, let alone internet. I mean, Jesus.
But there is some good news at the end of this article.
Oh, good.
Black Panther is set for its home video release. See, I told you it was coming up.
You did tell me.
On May 8th. That's when it'll be available for streaming, Blu-ray, and DVD on May 15th. Because putting them out at the same time would make sense.
It would. And we've talked about this before, but this movie has made $1.3 billion worldwide, and it came out in the middle of February.
Yeah.
March, April, not even three months. And it's on video. That's crazy. I'm not complaining. It's pretty awesome. But remember? And I know you remember.
Years,
exactly. It would be years for anything close to a hit movie to come out on home video.
Ghostbusters, right? Came out in 1984. Did not come out on home video, I think, until 87.
And
I mean, there used to be that kind of a wait.
Less than 3 months. That's just crazy.
Because it would be, you know, it would be in theaters for longer than they are now, though. It would be in theaters, and then about a year later, it would come out on HBO. And then at least 6 months after HBO would come the VHS release where you could rent it. You couldn't buy them. You had to rent them. Because if you bought the movie on VHS, it'd be $80 or $90
right.
bucks.
Yeah, I was gonna say you could buy it, but it was $80.
It was insane.
$79.99.
And something else that is similarly insane is that we have not had a Black Widow movie yet. Or have we? Because you saw Red Sparrow this week.
I did see Red Sparrow.
Which looks, for all intents and purposes, to be a Black Widow movie starring Mystique, who, quite frankly, is getting on my nerves at this point.
Mystique or the actress who plays Mystique?
The actress who plays Mystique, whose name I'm...
Jennifer Lawrence.
Not even going to try to remember.
J-Law. I like the movie. It has middling reviews and middling...
Well, that's because Disney's treatment of franchises and its fanboys got a hold of it and went, "We're not going to like the reviews for this movie."
But the reviews are they're kind of all over the map. So I thought it was really good. I thought it was as if someone decided to blend a Hitchcock film with an Eli Roth film. So you've got a lot of suspense and lots of twists and turns with a lot of brutality and splashy blood. I thought it was really good. Again, there are a lot of twists and turns. There's probably more violence in it than it needs to be. I didn't think it was a great movie. She's really good. It does require a little bit of suspense of disbelief because in the trailer, you see that she's a ballerina. And I'm thinking, okay, well, they wanted her to go undercover as a ballerina, which is kind of weird because she's not built like a ballerina. Now,
no.
let me say, before anyone starts talking, screaming that I'm body shaming, Jennifer Lawrence is an extremely attractive young lady. She just isn't built like a ballerina because ballerinas are just under an incredibly insane diet regimen because they want them to look like sticks, apparently. And that's not Jennifer Lawrence. So that's all there is to that. But no, she actually was a ballerina who then was forced into this world of espionage and blah, blah, blah. And there are lots of weird twists and turns.
And isn't that what they did with Black Widow in the movies?
Yeah. Pretty much. And her uncle also turns out to really be one of the villains. And then that's not exactly like a big giveaway because you can figure that out very quickly. He is an upper level agent of the KGB. And what's really funny is the guy looks so much like a young Putin. It's insane. Mainly it's done with just his hairstyle. And I think he's actually Belgian and he doesn't really look like Putin in regular life. But in this movie, I swear, it's like, oh my God, how did they get this dude who looks that much like Putin? It's crazy. He's not a very nice person, as it turns out. And she has to do some really terrible things, but she kind of enjoys doing terrible things, which makes it fun. Like I said, lots of twists and turns. It's like Atomic Blonde, but a serious version of Atomic Blonde and not as fun. It's worth seeing, but it's one of the movies that you really need to pay attention because there are so many plot twists and turns. If you get up for a Coke, you made a big mistake. You'll have to watch it again because you won't know what the hell is going on.
He was a bad guy when I left.
Yeah, basically. But it is. It's a lot of fun. But like I said, it's not a kid movie because there are some just brutal freaking scenes which fit. I mean, people get killed because that's what happens, and they get killed in really splashy ways, and I do mean splashy. But Jennifer Lawrence is excellent in it. Everyone is really good. I'm actually kind of surprised that it didn't do that well with critics or audiences in general, because I thought it was a good movie. Not a great movie, but definitely worth watching. Red Sparrow, aka Black Widow.
Yeah,
kind of.
It is the number 13 grossing film of the year. I just thought I'd throw that out because I still had the box office mojo window open.
Mojo Jojo. Why didn't they call it box office? Oh, because they would get sued. Oh, well. Too bad.
I like Mojo Jojo.
Mojo Jojo.
I occasionally walk around house and speak like Mojo Jojo and tell my Powerpuff Girls they need to clean their rooms.
And they get kind of pissed at me and tell me they're not going to do it.
That's a beautiful Mojo Jojo.
Thank you very much.
One of the great characters ever. Pacific Rim Uprising is the 11th grossing movie, and that's a travesty.
It should be Atlantic Rim 2.
It should be Atlantic Rim 2. And Pacific Rim Uprising should be, where's Kirk Cameron's movie? It should be right above Kirk Cameron's movie, which has made $836,000.
See, that's a segue. I was trying to figure out a segue to this one, and you mentioned Kirk, which is not Kirk Cameron, it's James Kirk, who is the second captain of the Enterprise on Star Trek, and I have a story about the first captain, Christopher Pike. That's a long damn segue.
Okay, we'll take it.
Star Trek Discovery. In the last episode, oh look, there's the Enterprise. And Captain Christopher Pike has been cast finally. It's going to be Anson Mount, who is a very odd name, and that sounds just an odd name. Anyway,
is he going to use a look other than his constipated look? I hope he can do more than that.
I don't know. If you don't know him, he's from Hell on Wheels, and he played Black Bolt in the really underrated Inhumans series. Just because it didn't look like it was filmed in IMAX, and I don't care if it was or not, it ended up being a good series.
That whole IMAX thing that's what killed it.
That was worst marketing idea, not ever, but in quite a while.
Yeah.
And speaking of marketing, there's a new thing that comes out about MoviePass this week. I don't know if you saw this or not.
I did, I think.
It's going to make you happy. AMC is likely to let people start using MoviePass at their theaters. I saw the story and I thought of you.
Which is funny because I have used MoviePass at AMC theaters the whole time. And the one I go to never banned it.
Wow.
Yeah. So much for their ban. I don't know. The whole movie recommended pass thing. Mm. Yeah, and the movie pass thing is weird because every month they have a new special. Like right now, they're running a special that you get iHeartRadio premium version along with movie pass for 3 months, and I think it's $10 a month or whatever the hell it is. I don't know, and I don't care because I already have it. But they're just
Are on iHeartRadio, by the way.
We are.
Yeah.
So
just in case you're listening somewhere else.
Get this, and then you can listen to us commercial free, which you already are anyway, so forget that.
Yeah. Moving on. there's a company that makes movies called Platinum Dunes.
Yes.
And they have been making, of late, damn it, there's that kid from Mad Max again. I'm really tired of this ad. It needs to go away. Anyway, Platinum Dunes has been making a lot of money remaking old horror movies like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Friday the 13th and A Nightmare on Elm Street and the Amityville Horror and a bunch of other crap. I'm not going to read the whole list. Yeah, but if you've seen a remade horror movie in the past 15 years, chances are they're the ones who've done it. Now, they announced this week, I'll quote here from, what is his name? Fuller. He has a Brad Fuller.
Brian.
Who
formed... Brian Fuller.
Okay. I thought it was Brad. They wrote... Anyway. He said, and I'll quote, "We've rebooted enough. We've done all our rebooted horror movies. We're not going to be doing that anymore." And I thought, that is brilliant. No more remaking of horror movies. I love it. And what are your next projects going to be? Dora the Explorer, The Purge 4, and more Jack Ryan TV series. So you stopped doing horror, but you're still remaking crap. What?
And I lied. No. And I lied. It is Brad Fuller. I was thinking Brian Fuller was tied in with it. But Dora the Explorer, that's kind of weird. Now, the Jack
because
Ryan.
Because that goes with The Purge 4, because, you know.
Yeah. The Purge, at least. I mean, that's their original property. And they also were behind A Quiet Place. So they have done some good stuff. They've also done Texas Chainsaw Massacre ad infinitum also, so yeah. The Jack Ryan series I'm looking forward to because I think that has a chance to be really good. And the last Jack Ryan movie was so forgettable I can't even remember which Chris starred in it. I think maybe it was Pine. Hardwick. Yeah, it was Hardwick. I would have watched it if it'd been that. So I'm cool with that. And it's on Amazon, so they can throw some money at it. Well, if they have any money left over after their Lord of the Rings thing, like you were talking about last week.
Yeah, that's expensive.
$1 billion and...
Or if Hammond wrecks another one of those cars, ruining the whole Grand Tour thing.
I like the fact that the Jack Ryan series is going to star John Krasinski, and I can see him playing it a little more like the character was originally, at least in the... Well, even in the books, too, where he's... He's an analyst. He's not some top level agent who can do has a particular set of skills. He's not James Bond. He's a guy who manages to figure out how to stay alive and win the day. And I can see Krasinski playing that type of character, and I hope that's how he's portrayed in the series anyway. You can see why they keep on doing these reboots and all this stuff. I mean, you look at the budget for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which, not the original, but their version. $9.5 million, and it grossed $107 million. They make money.
Ouch.
Oh my God, The Purge. This is insane. It cost $3 million to make The Purge, and it made $89 million. That's why they keep doing it.
Ah, well, there we go then.
Which doesn't mean they're worth watching.
No.
A Quiet Place is a fantastic movie, absolutely. But you know, stuff like, yeah, there it is, Dora the Explorer. That is so strange. Very weird.
One of these things is not like the other.
Dora the Explorer, The Purge. Now that I would go see.
Benny the Bull does some tremendous things in that. Anyway. Big Red Chicken is wearing a mask. Wow. Speaking of things that really don't need to go together, I used to be excited about the forthcoming Titans TV series based on the DC characters.
I'm so happy.
Teen Titans.
I'm so happy you're addressing this.
Did you see the pictures that came out this week?
I did, and I immediately thought, I wonder what Rob thinks.
Somebody needs to be shot.
Yes.
Three pictures snuck out.
Are we sure? Are we sure, before you get into details on this, are we sure that those are actual cast pictures? Because I swear,
I think that
I thought it was bad cosplay.
There needs to be other special effects added post-production, because these just, yeah, no.
They look awful.
I understand that you're not going to be in character all the time when you're not shooting. So the concept of the girl playing Raven smiling, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
She even vaguely looks like Raven. Fine. Standing next to her is Beast Boy, who is supposed to be green.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it's a Beast Boy thing. If you don't know the character, look him up. This guy has green hair.
Mm-hmm.
And the costume actually does look almost right, but he's not green. That's almost as bad as the girl playing Starfire in the other picture.
Mm-hmm.
Who is supposed to be a young Tamaranian. And if you don't know where that is, it's not on the planet. Don't get a map. She's supposed to be orange. And I mean even more orange than our president.
Mm-hmm.
In this picture, she is an African-American girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying there's a problem with being an African-American girl.
Right.
If you are, go right ahead. I have no problem with that. Except Starfire is orange.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl quite obviously is. And I'm hoping that the fur coat was actually just, you know, it's cold on set. Give me a coat. And we're not shooting right now. That would be fine. If she wears the coat in the series, it's not Starfire. It's Space Ho. So that's where that coat went in my head.
Yeah, those pictures were just terrifying.
They're all online if you want to look them up. I might put them on the website later. It's horrible.
I mean, I'm fine with them casting an African-American actress, but why doesn't she have orange hair?
Hello?
At least do that. It looks awful. Like I said, my first thought was these can't be real. This just has to be bad cosplay picks because they look awful.
It's not good cosplay.
I mean, it's terrible. I just don't. I don't know.
Have you read the books?
Have you looked
at the books?
Have you seen the cover of a comic book? That's all it would take. I don't know.
From the creators of Teen Titans Go, the series that everyone has always been embarrassed to work on, comes this. Swell. But that's not the worst news that we get from DC this week. And this sounds like it's going to be good news. But give it a moment. Batgirl is being produced again 2 months after Joss Whedon said, I'll write the script and work the movie. And no, he quit. It's been picked up by someone named Christina Hodson. I have no problem with a woman writing a movie. What I have a problem with is she's the one who wrote the upcoming Transformers spinoff, Bumblebee. And if this movie is anything like the previous Transformers movies, no. Don't even make Bumblebee, and don't let her touch Batgirl. That just...
Yeah, I saw that, and I was thinking, I really don't understand how she got the gig, because...
That movie hasn't even been filmed yet, has it?
No, there isn't really much memorable work here. I mean, she co-wrote the script of the film Unforgettable, which...
Oh, wait a minute. She worked on Atlantic Rim 2. Really?
Yeah, it just seemed rather odd. She wrote the script for Shut-In.
I've never heard of that. But
I thought, oh, okay, so you just randomly decided, no, this sounds good. Very, very odd. Hopefully it turns out to be wonderful and her association with Michael Bay will not damage the Batgirl movie, but
that would be nice. I want it to be a good movie. I like the character, but
here's one of the things that really I thought was hilarious is like one of these stories about this is, thank God Christina Hodson is the new writer of the Batgirl movies. Like, what are you basing this on?
I was her roommate in college.
Oh. The other thing is, oh, they got a new screenwriter. It's like, really? You have high expectations for this based on what? Very, very odd. Anyway.
We have an odd Aquaman movie news.
Is it been pushed back again?
No. It's still coming out in December, and they just finished the reshoots.
Woo!
Here's the weird part. They announced this week that Randall Park has just joined the cast. We're done filming. You can come in now. What? He's supposed to be playing Dr. Stephen Shin, the marine biologist and friend of Aquaman's human father. You know what? Fine, but they finished shooting.
So I guess
it's a bit late to bring someone in now, isn't it?
So I guess they haven't finished shooting, have they?
I guess not.
How many more new characters will they introduce? And then,
well, it's the New Mutants movie.
I was going to say, my God.
Wow. But there is one minor piece of good news from the DC. It's the televised universe where they almost know what they're doing. Supergirl is coming back this week, actually. After a several-month hiatus that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And they're bringing back Laurie Metcalf as a semi-regular character.
That's cool. I like Laurie Metcalf. I had no idea who she played, but that's okay.
She's playing, if I'm reading this correctly, the estranged mother of the character Wynn Schott, who is the son of the bad guy, the Toy Man, who was killed off in season one. Or so we thought. There's a trailer for the show that's coming out, and they... Do you remember Toy Man in the Justice League Unlimited series?
I do.
And how he was creepy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to the point where I wouldn't let my kids watch it, because he was that kind of creepy.
Very pervy pedo.
That's the way they're doing this trailer. It looks like a horror movie with a pedophile bad guy.
Oh, that's kind of weird. And kind of cool. Actually,
I like it. I think the DC TV shows are getting progressively better. You know, it's not the animated ones. Those are just with the exception of Titans Go, which never needed to be made in the first place. They're all awesome. They really, except for Flash. Flash is not doing that well, right? Flash has gotten stupid. I'm very disappointed. The rest of them, they've been doing horror episodes, and I don't like horror stuff, but I like the way they do these. I'll take it.
Legends of Tomorrow. You've been watching that, correct?
Yes.
And I read a review that said the first season was just kind of, okay, but they've really, really gotten better, and they continue to get better and better. Would you say that's correct?
With the exception of this season's finale, where it got remarkably silly.
Yeah, I heard it got remarkable. I read it got remarkably silly. Well, then I will give Legends of Tomorrow another shot. Because I like all the characters. It's just the show itself just kind of put me off because I thought it was like...
They killed off several characters that I did like. Captain Cold was killed off. But that's because the actor wanted to go do something else. And
The Hawk people were killed off, correct? Or they were gone anyway.
They're at least gone, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I didn't really care for their characters.
They didn't need to be there, even though they were integral to the plot. We could just have them come in and do exposition and leave.
I'll give it a shot then.
Constantine is a recurring character and will be a regular in season four.
And that's a big plus to me. That's a big plus.
And let's see, who else? They added Kid Flash.
That's
for lack of a place to put him.
That's fun.
It's gotten considerably better.
Cool. I will give it another shot, but I don't think I'll try Supergirl ever again because I still cannot forgive them for making her duck away from a flamethrower. You're Supergirl. Supergirl. That makes no sense. Anyway.
Well, would it help if I told you that Martian Manhunter is a regular on the show?
Nope, because I know he is. Doesn't make any difference. That's why the guy was using... That's why the villain had a flamethrower, and Supergirl's like, "Ooh, I'm going to burn." No, you're not. You're Supergirl. But go ahead and duck away from it anyway.
Well, it's like the old... the really old Superman shows where they would use the...
They fire the bullets, and the guy throws the gun, and he ducks.
He ducks the gun.
That's in the 50s. It can be excused for being stupid. Actually, not.
It's not like the flames are there anyway. You don't have to duck.
Yeah, it's just... Oh, my God. That was just such... just a terrible, terrible mistake they made.
Anyway.
Cost them one viewer, which I'm sure they're really crushed about that. Anyway.
Oh, you're the reason the ratings dropped. Got it.
Yeah. Hashtag wanted to throw this terrible. In. She runs away from fire. Hashtag I'm not watching. I have one follower. I'm awesome.
Wanted to throw this in. It's technically not movie news, but it could be the future of movies.
Ooh.
Back when the Sega Dreamcast existed as a game system, there was two games that came out called Shenmue and Shenmue 2, which were the first real open video games where you played a story in a world that isn't, you know, here's level one, here's level two, here's level three. This was an open world where you could just explore. Ooh. And you're trying to solve a murder.
Ooh.
In the game, and I never got the opportunity to play it. I've seen the game. It, even on the old system that came out in the early 90s, it still looks good by today's standards. So that's a hint. They're being re-released on the PS4, the Xbox One, and PC later this year. So if you get the opportunity to get them, because I suspect they'll be selling quick, get them. This could be where movies go someday. A fully interactive, open world, go solve a murder mystery, you know, kind of game. It's really good. And I wanted to put that out somewhere.
Woo.
In addition to being put out somewhere, which one of these do I want to go with first? The Solo trailer or the Incredibles 2 trailer?
Is there one that's happy? Let's save the one that's happy for later. And if they're both sad, then so.
Okay, Incredibles 2.
Why did I know that was going to happen? Okay.
Well, it still looks way too much like, oh, let's raise the kids.
Mr. Mom with superpowers. The film.
No. If I go to a movie, I'm leaving my kids at home with a babysitter or something, and I want to get away from the kids. And I don't want to go see a movie where, oh, look, I've done that before. I've done that. But I don't want to see a movie about raising kids because I've done that. I want to get away from it for a while. And I don't care if this is a Disney movie or not. Don't do it. It's the Fantastic Four. You should do Fantastic Four stuff. Especially now that you own the Fantastic Four again. Right?
Right.
I don't like the way it's going.
I hope that for whatever stupid reason, they've decided to focus on that aspect in the trailers, and that it's actually like maybe 10 or 15 minutes of the movie. You know, they'll cut back to this every once in a while. It's like, oh, and meanwhile, Bob is changing diapers that are now radioactive or whatever the hell the problem is in this sequence. I just, that would be such a mistake. And I just have a hard time thinking that Brad Bird would manage to make something that tragic, because he's done some awesome work.
He has. And we liked it. And then there's this. I don't want to be disappointed by it. I'm just expecting it at this point.
Yeah.
The new Solo trailer. Let's do something a little bit better. Because it had a great quote if you're listening to it in the middle. I don't know that we learn anything new about the plot. There's some new shots of stuff because it's a new trailer and a quote that I liked. There's a shot of Han and a character who has yet to be named flying the Falcon. When a Chewie in the background says, you know, does his grumbly growly thing. Han turns around and says, since when do you know how to fly? Grumble, grumble, growl, growl. 190 years old? Wow, dude, you look great. And I thought, that's a good line. I like that. And it started me thinking, which is a dangerous thing.
That is dangerous.
Does this mean, because you know, when the older you get, you actually do shrink. And weirdly, your ears and your hands and everything get bigger and as. If Chewie is 190, and you lose your hair too, see. Chewie's 190 and still big and fuzzy, but if he gets to be 900 years old, Could his ears have gotten big enough and lose all the hair? Holy crap, is Yoda a Wookiee?
That's rather funny.
It could happen.
It could happen.
I don't want it to, really, but that hit me and I went, oh, I hope not.
Well, it's better than if he was whatever race Jar Jar Binks was from.
Misa think not.
Yeah. Misa hope
not. Misa hope not. Yusa gone bad. Mm-hmm. Whatever the hell that means.
Misa cry now.
You know what? I'm going to... Let's finish up the show with the segment that I missed last week.
Yes.
Because, frankly, I forgot. It's the greatest TV program of all time.
Woo!
Of the week.
Of the week.
And I'm going to do one, and I was trying to debating between which of two series I was going to do. And I thought I would do the one that just ended its 19th season, kind of. And that would be the Dragon Ball series, which is a shame because it's a foreign TV show, which Lee should love, but he's not here. So fine, be that way, just because your girlfriend came over.
Does it have twin beds? Is that why
it could? Twin, there. Actually, you know what? I think there are. I digress. The Dragon Ball series, if you're not familiar with it, is actually comprised of almost four series, but it's really three. Let me go into the politics of this because it gets kind of weird. The original series, Dragon Ball, and its follow-up series, Dragon Ball Z, which is really the same series, were created by Akira Toriyama back in the 80s. And when he finished Z, he said, I want to be done with this. But the Bandai Toy Company said, no, 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 we need more. So they created the series Dragon Ball GT, which has been pretty much unanimously deemed to be utter crap. But good news, about 7 years ago, Akira Toriyama popped up again and said, you know what, I want to do more Dragon Ball series. And I'm actually going to place this new series called Dragon Ball Super in the middle, well, actually not in the middle, toward one end, actually toward the extreme of one end, during Dragon Ball Z. Because in the series, there are, you know, 3 years later, 5 years later, gaps in the story. And he said, this one takes place during that last gap.
Fine.
So what he has done with this series, since he's the creator, and he took the characters in a way that is completely different than where GT went, we can now assume that GT doesn't exist anymore. Yay. Meanwhile, the series itself starts off with our main character, Goku. I told you it's a foreign series. Get used to the names. In the first Dragon Ball episode, Goku is 11. He meets a character named Bulma, who is 16. There are jokes involved. You'll have to watch the series for them. Bulma is on a quest to find the Dragon Balls, which give, if you get all seven of them, you can summon the Eternal Dragon. The Eternal Dragon will grant you a wish. And I thought that was brilliant, setting that up in episode one, because in a lot of series that end up being long, like this does, I'll tell you how long in a minute, there end up being characters that die. But then they come back miraculously with no Bob, I thought you were dead. Yes, my car ran off a cliff and I've been in a coma for the past 3 years and some convoluted storyline. And oh, Martha, look, I'm back. No, no, that's crap. And I hate it when that happens. But if you can get a wish granted, like they set up in the original show, there's a way to bring characters back from the dead. In episode one, setting it up in the beginning, loved that. Anyway, the series follows Goku, and most of the time Bulma is there too, as they gather the Dragon Balls repeatedly because they keep getting stolen by people. Go figure. And by the end of the Dragon Ball series, which is a couple hundred episodes, Goku is 18 years old. The last episode, he gets married and goes off. And then 5 years later, we have Dragon Ball Z, where he's 23, has a five-year-old kid. The Z series gets a lot weirder. And by the end of that, Goku's in his mid-40s and a grandfather. This is a series that encompasses, if you include Super, which is in the middle of Z, trust me, this does make sense, 580-plus episodes. all in an order. Now the
time to start binging.
Holy cow. Actually, I have. Over the past 2 years, my daughters and I have watched the entire thing through Super, which just ended this past month. It ended at the end of March, ended season 5 of Dragon Ball Super, and season 5 actually started in February of 2017. That's right, a 55-episode season, which creates one of the issues with the series because there's not necessarily a continuous set number of episodes per season. Because, you know, Doctor Who now, 13 episodes and then you're done. Back in the day, it was 23 episodes and then you're done. This one, a 55-episode season. The previous season had 8 episodes. What?
That's a little odd.
Consistency? Yeah, who needs it? But the storyline had consistency to it. It had continuity to it. It also had some Asian theatrical stuff to it, where characters, to build tension, will stare at each other a lot.
Yes, they do that in Dragon Ball.
Leading to the joke, how many Dragon Ball characters does it take to screw in a light bulb? The answer is 1, but it's going to take him 6 episodes to do it. You know, you get used to things like that. Actually, I didn't. A lot of this has to do with martial arts fighting and superpowered martial arts fighting. And if you like that, you're going to love this series. It's going to be brilliant. And if nothing else, you'll love it for the last fight scene of Dragon Ball Super, which started in episode 21 and finished halfway through episode 55. That's right. One fight scene, 34 episodes. Holy cow.
Wow.
80 characters in one massive fight scene. And you know what? At no point did I go, can you just finish it? I watched all of it and going, I want more. This is cool. Don't end the episode. Oh, crap. I got to wait another week for another episode to come out. It actually is really good fight scenes. I enjoyed it. So that's why I'm putting the Dragon Ball series, of which there are 3 or 4, depending on your point of view, as the greatest TV program of all time this week.
It's a 17-hour fight scene.
It is. And there are a couple references in it. It's a battle royal between 8 different universes. Each universe has 10 fighters, and there's one universe, I guess it's about halfway through, where the 3 main fighters for this particular universe are kind of like from Sailor Moon.
Oh, God.
Where they do the twirly-twirly pose as they transform from girl to other girl in a different outfit. But they do this in the most hilarious way to me. Spoiler? Yeah, sure, why not? The main character, twirly pose, twirly, twirly pose. And, you know, the third one is going to be the final twirl pose. And she gets about halfway through it. And the character of Vegeta comes by and beats the crap out of her.
Oh, Vegeta's not a very nice person.
Oh, he's not. And why did you do that? We wanted to see her final transformation. But that was stupid. Why are we watching them do that? We're supposed to be beating the crap out of you. Let her finish it. Oh, and so he goes, fine, I'll go beat the crap out of that guy over there, and wanders off while they do their twirly pose thing again.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome. It's normally not a funny series, really, but there are humorous
things. There are a lot of funny parts.
Oh, that's one of them.
That's great.
I loved that. It's a good show. So if you get the opportunity, you know what? You really can start the series just about anywhere and pick up on what's going on.
I'm disappointed that it took you 2 years to binge watch it, though, because it appears that there's 290 hours of it, which means you could have done it in within 3 months easily.
Well, if I did absolutely nothing else, sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's just 4 hours a day, Rob, every day.
Yeah. No. I love the series. I actually have a Dragon Ball tattoo, and yet, no. No, I can't do that much of it at a time.
580 shows in 2 years is that's a pretty remarkable binge. That's pretty sweet.
Thank you. I'm going to take a nap now. I would like to point out, though, while I'm thinking of it, that there's made-for-TV movies that came out with this, and there's, I think, 20 of them or something. They are not in the same continuity as the TV show. They seem like they could be, but then there are things where you go, well, if that has happened, then that means that we are at this point in the series, but if we're at that point in the series and that guy's dead and he doesn't come back until this comes out and there's continuity errors all through the movies, don't worry about them. Mm-hmm. Although I think it's the next to last of the Dragon Ball Z movies where a problem occurs between the world of the living and the world of the dead. And so Genghis Khan and Adolf Hitler come back and invade the world where we have superpowered martial artists who looked at Hitler and said, I bet we can make him pee if we transform. Let's see if that works.
And I imagine
it did. again, another one of the humor parts.
That's awesome.
It's a good series if you get the opportunity. I'm sure it's still on numerous channels. So enjoy. And that's all I've got this week. You got anything else?
That is, there's nothing to top that, sir. No, I do not.
Okay. In that case, I will remind everyone to subscribe to the show on iTunes or YouTube or the Google Play Store or wherever you happen to find us, including iHeartRadio, because we are there. And we'll be back next week, possibly with Lee, maybe without Lee, maybe just his twin bed. I don't know. Have a good week, everyone, and try to stay out of Syria. I hear they're bombing it.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.